The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRante, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
Ain't nothing. We got another week to talk about some the Monday night show. Let's get it on.
I haven't asked you about these folks in a while, but how was your No Chill conglomerate? How are they doing?
See, here you go. We good. We still around. We just, everybody just doing their own thing. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the elite on AEW. Everybody's like just doing their own thing.
All right. That's good. Glad to hear that everybody's doing well in the conglomerate.
I mean, you still got Ty still in the network, right? He's still around. Dwayne, he's still around.
Right.
Everybody. Yeah, so yeah, it's just, you know, we just, like I said, we just doing our own thing. You know, COVID kind of took kind of, you know, had us doing different things, you know, so we just kind of holding it down.
Okay. All right. Well, the Rawcast is part of the CSPN. You can find the Rawcast on our website at cspn.us. You can also subscribe to the WrestleCast and listen to the Rawcast each and every week. All you have to do is subscribe to the WrestleCast - the CSPN. Subscribe to the WrestleCast with the New Day holding the WrestleCast logo, and you'll get the Rawcast each and every week. So, Mo to the underscore, we're going to start Monday Night Raw off with our champion, Drew McIntyre. We get a video package of what Drew did to Randy Orton last week. Then Drew talks about his broken jaw. He considers himself lucky that it is only a hairline fracture. Drew wants to update us. WWE Medical told him to take some time off, but if he did that, he'd have to forfeit the title. He said one bad strike to the jaw could displace the fracture, and his mouth would have to be wired shut. But he says he's not giving up the title. So he one good right hand away from sipping the scissor, huh?
Yeah, I saw the Kanye line you tweeted. I was laughing. I was like, that's fitting.
Drew tells Orton, turn up the volume at home or wherever he is. Considering their mutual rides in the ambulances, then it seems appropriate that someone takes a ride in the ambulance for the title. So at Clash of Champions, it'll be Drew versus Randy Orton for the title in an ambulance match. Your thoughts, sir?
I didn't expect this swerve to come, but it did. And I wonder how it's going to play out in these next couple of weeks. Since Clash of Champions is what?
2 weeks?
Yeah, okay. So we'll see how it plays out.
He says, come to think of it, Randy might not make it to Clash. He says he created the Claymore by mistake. He said he was wearing some tight leather pants. He said he kicked. He went to go do a kick. He heard his pants split, and then he realized if he put both feet up that he would have a good move on his hands and his pants wouldn't rip all open. So he shows a Photoshop of all the former victims of the Claymore. Adam Pearce comes out to say it's highly unlikely that Randy Orton will be here tonight. He may not be able to face Drew at Clash of Champions. Adam says if Keith Lee beats Drew McIntyre tonight and Orton can't make it to Clash, then Keith Lee will face Drew McIntyre for the title.
Now, one thing I've liked in these past couple of weeks, Adam Pearce as not like a general manager, but, you know, kind of that manager figure who can make decisions and everything.
You know what I was thinking? He's like a entry level William Regal.
I can run with that.
Keith Lee comes out with a smirk. He slow walks down the ramp. Keith Lee is donning a vest that says Black Lives Matter on the back. He walks into the ring to stare down Drew in the title. Lee extends his hand. They shake hands. Drew looks to leave, and Keith Lee holds on a little longer to make a statement. And Drew does the same as each guys are staring each other down with the handshake. So, you know, that, you know, yeah, we good, but, you know, the title puts a little tension between us. Now, this was a pretty strong promo. It wasn't a meandering 15, 20-minute promo.
Yeah, it was basically just to move things along, you know. It's kind of interesting how what the setup is going to be. You know, if Randy can't make it to Clash, then Keith Lee gets a title shot. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, right now, it's like they're not really doing anything with him. They're just... He's just basically that supporting character in this whole championship thing. It was like, yeah, he came and wrestled Randy, but that's it. He don't have no real story. I guess after this is all said and done, he should get linked up with somebody and they should have something going on.
Right, right. Nakamura and Cesaro, the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, are on Raw to face the Raw Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits. Montez Ford gets pressed into the air by Cesaro and then gets hit with that uppercut. Cesaro covers him for a two count. This was nasty.
I mean, he got some hype on that and he came hit with that. Right. He's up and the next thing you know, boom. I was like, that's some hype, but that uppercut,
Dawkins sends Shinsuke into the steps on the outside. Cesaro grabs Ford. He calls for the end. He sends Ford into the corner. He hits him with the uppercuts until the ref stops him. He hits one last uppercut and Montez Ford falls to the mat. Montez is on the apron. Cesaro walks up to the corner. He goes for a deadweight superplex and he hits it. That's when Dawkins, before the superplex takes place, makes the tag. Dawkins hits Cesaro with a frog splash and gets the pin on Cesaro for the 1-2-3, and the Street Profits are victorious.
Say it one more time. Who got the pin?
That would be Angelo Dawkins with the big boy frog splash.
Yeah. I was just as shocked as everyone else that he's the one who got the pin, because everybody normally is whoever the star is. I thought Angelo was going to be the one taking the brunt of the beatdown, but then was, you know, it changed my mind. I mean, kind of just changed my mind until we got to the finish, and then we seen Dawkins just come off of there and hit that frog splash. I was like, okay.
Yeah, they switched the formula up a little bit this week. That's always good in tag team wrestling.
Yeah, but I mean, it's good to see you know, Street Profits get the rub over on Cesaro and Shinsuke, two veterans in the company and wrestling in general and everything. But it was a pretty good, I mean, I liked the match. It was pretty solid.
I'd like to see Montez Ford versus Cesaro one-on-one.
Yeah, you know, also Michael Cole, who was on commentary, him, I mean, Dolph Ziggler on the first album, something like that.
First hour, yep.
Yeah, and then Michael Cole said Dawkins had lost weight to get some of his power endurance up or something like that. So, you know, they working with him. Someone's back there working with him, getting him in shape and everything. So, you know, while Montez Ford is the star, but they don't think that Dawkins is no slouch either.
Yeah, D'Lo Brown Jr., man, he's made a lot of strides on the main roster. I am not mad at him. I'm actually very proud of him. He's one of the longest reigning members in the Performance Center before the Street Profits got called up. So I'm glad that he's getting all this shine.
Yeah, it's like we said in old previous episodes, they had a nice little run in NXT and they did some Evolve stuff too. So, you know, they've been around. So, you know, it's good to see them, you know, the fruition of their work is paying off.
I'm glad they didn't turn into the Ascension.
Right. Or Buddy Murphy and
Wesley Blake.
Yeah.
Where their manager became the biggest star out of those two guys.
Yeah, man. Binky, she's been doing her YouTube channel, and she's been trying to, you know, get her name up that way. And she said in the interview that she wants them just to, what she said, give her the spotlight and let her run with it, something like that she had said. But, you know, she's itching. It's like she's itching to get in there and get things started.
Don't be so quick to get right in there and do jobs.
I know what she's right. But as I said, she's still undefeated on the main roster, so that's good. You know, she's not, you know, she's not, you know, jobbing out or nothing like that. She's still undefeated, so I'm cool with that.
Right. Yeah, that's like I said on the SmackDown Matters, me and Ms. Jade to the Max recorded that this past Sunday. Check that out right here on CSPN. I told she was talking about Naomi not being in that four-way, and I'm like, I'm cool with it because I don't want to see Naomi get beat by Bayley. I want to see Naomi beat Bayley.
Right.
So until that is the end of the story, don't put Naomi nowhere near Bayley.
Not at all.
Backstage, Lana is complaining about Mickie James getting a title shot to Angel Garza. Angel Garza says this is unfair, and her passion for justice is just intoxicating. Angel says he's tired of being blamed for every setback. Last week, Andrade got pinned, so yell at him. That's when Andrade and Angel go face-to-face and argue in Spanish. Zelina Vega snaps. She says she can't do it anymore. She walks away, and that's when Angel and Andrade start brawling. We get a bunch of punches and wrestling going on in the back, and then we go to commercial break. Nobody even came to break it up.
Listen, this is the show you that how far people have fallen since Paul Heyman's been removed, because Andrade was one of the top ones that he wanted to push, and now he's about to be subject to being de-pushed, so to speak. And Vince likes Angel Garza more because he reminds him of Eddie Guerrero. So I don't know what's going on. Bruce Prichard is kind of like on a power trip, so to speak, from what I've been reading.
Have they not seen Andrade versus Johnny Gargano from NXT for the NXT title 2 years ago?
You know, they don't pay attention to stuff like that. You know, they have a different mindset when they get the call up.
That's
you know,
a five-star classic.
Listen, we know this. We, as fans, know this. The brass that runs the show don't care about that. And that's the sad thing.
Gives that man something he can really do. I mean, I think he's more of a singles wrestler than a tag team wrestler. They had him miscast to begin with Angel Garza as is strictly his like tag team partner, and that's it. Now, if they were going to be a stable, then that'd be something different. But yeah, not as a tag team. Andrade is definitely a singles guy, and he can go flat out go.
Right. But they, it's just how things are just going these days. So
yeah, what's up with all the tag teams breaking up?
Listen, it's just been a whole breakup mess these past couple of weeks.
Right. And not to mention, they let a lot of the, some more people go. They let like a whole bundle of people go. They let Gerald Briscoe go, man.
Yeah, they, this is basically, you know, people who were furloughed or they let them people go. And so Gerald Briscoe got a phone call saying he wasn't no longer needed. And
Mike Rotunda.
Yeah, Mike Rotunda. It was a lot of like people who was like in management or backstage bookers and everything, or like backstage and stuff like the producers, they got cut. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of crazy, you know, letting Rotunda go. Rotunda been there for a minute. So and Briscoe's been there for a minute too, you know. Mm-hmm. Briscoe said Briscoe was instrumental in getting Brock Lesnar to sign originally.
Yep.
So it's just like, it's crazy.
He's one of their talent search guys. He goes out and he goes across the country. He's a scout, so to speak. So he goes to like all the colleges and Olympics and looks at like the real wrestlers, the real shooters, and he tries to, you know, pick out who might be able to adapt to WWE.
I mean, look at Brock.
Shelton.
I mean, right.
Charlie Haas, because Charlie Haas was a really good amateur wrestler.
Dolph Ziggler. This didn't like him.
Yeah, I don't know. Charlie Haas was really good, but yeah, him
Vince,
and Vince
did Vince, not Vince have did, a like good. Vince thought he was boring. So yeah. It was, wow. He was always coming out there doing the gimmicks when he was impersonating other wrestlers. I'm like, he was funny, but Vince wasn't messing with him. So.
Nah, once he got out from under the world's greatest tag team, yeah, he kind of lost a lot of steam. But when him and Shelton were together with Angle, and they was going around putting ankle locks on people, Charlie Haas was that dude.
Yeah. I still laugh at it. It was my old backstage segment with it was Benjamin and Haas, and it was Crime Time. This was Crime Time, was still there, and those other two, like, I guess Viking guys, who's there? I forgot their name. Can't think of their names right now, but they were still in this whole who's black and everything, who's, you know, perpetrating stereotypes and everything. It was real funny, you know.
Dominic Guerrero is backstage with his family. They're talking strategy for the steel cage match later tonight. The Hurt Business is here, and their new entrance is pretty cool. MVP says that this is an official announcement from the Hurt Business. Business is booming. He says Lashley is the CEO, and he's firmly in possession of the United States title. Shelton Benjamin has upgraded from the gold standard to platinum status, and apparently Cedric has sent in his W-9, and now he is officially a part of the Hurt Business. Cedric says social media was throwing shade. He says this is his job. He does what he's got to do to succeed. No one knows what this is like to come to work every Monday, get their ass beat, but wake up Tuesday, and then he's unable to play with his kids. Being with Ricochet and Apollo left him empty, and now that he's in the Hurt Business, that's when Ricochet interrupts. He and Apollo want to call it how it is. Cedric sold them out. He's too weak-minded and got manipulated. Now he's made a decision, he's got to live with the consequences. They've always had Cedric's back. Cedric says, wrong, wrong. How many times did he catch a beating for Apollo when he was a United States champion? Shelton says Cedric doesn't owe them anything. Ricochet didn't come here to get an explanation. After last week, that hurt more than anything the Hurt Business has done to him. They were supposed to be brothers. They came out here but didn't come to ask why. They came to tell Cedric that they coming for him. So that gives us Cedric Alexander versus Ricochet. Kick to the face from Ricochet. He pulls Cedric up, full Nelson to a suplex, and pin for a two count. Ricochet drags Cedric towards the corner. Shelton tries to distract Ricochet, but he flies with a flip and he rolls through. He does that run-up backflip off of Cedric's chest. But Cedric catches him into the Michinoku driver, gets a pin for a two count. He follows up immediately with the lumbar check. Ricochet with a rock level sell of the lumbar check. And Cedric Alexander gets the win over Ricochet.
Did you see how he bounced up off of that, off of that lumbar check? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Yep. Yeah, the lumbar check is already like a rough move to take, but yeah, he had that little
extra. He added that flair to it, and I was like, oh my goodness, I said, they got some height.
The Hurt Business enters the ring to hold up the hand of the victorious Cedric Alexander. That's when the lights go out. Retribution is here. They see what everyone is: waste, scrapped, byproduct. He says they are loyal to an entity that cast them out like garbage. He says they are corrupt. He says they once believed that their time would lead them to fame and wealth. They refuse to suck up to an entitled regime. Enjoy the final days of oblivion. They will show us exactly who they are. They are retribution. The lights come back up with the Hurt Business ready to brawl, but no sign of retribution. All right, we finally got it. They once believed that their time would lead them to fame and wealth. They refused to suck up to an entitled regime. So enjoy the final days of oblivion. So basically, they, you know, they're saying that they were led astray by the lure of the WWE bright lights and everybody becomes a superstar. But they got cast aside. They're byproducts. They're a waste.
Yeah, so it was, that was crazy. That was a crazy promo. So, and then we kind of seen who was standing out amongst everyone in the doing a promo. And they said they're not going to reveal, they've had plans to reveal who the group is until Survivor Series, after the draft and close to Survivor Series. But
they're not going to be able to hold out that long, man. People are already losing interest.
And the thing is, is already, like, I guess it was an internal document floating around about who's actually in it. And the names that we have already pinpointed out as being in the group were those listed. I guess a lot of those other ones were just listed as just like, what you call it? Just fill-ins and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But they have like five, they have the five particulars who's going to be in the group and everything.
Yeah, those five people are Donovan Dijakovic, the real big dude who was doing the talking during the Retribution promo. Shane Thorne, who used to be a part of the Aussie tag team. He's a NXT guy. Mercedes Martinez, Mia Yim, and Dio Madden.
So I was like, who's the black dude? That's like, oh, that's who that is.
I don't know if Dio Madden can either wrestle. I don't even know how he don't even wrestle on NXT that much.
He might have wrestled pre-COVID in like house shows or whatnot, but I have not seen him. This is when NXT used to have like two house shows in like in Florida in like different cities and everything. Like, I mean, they'd be in Florida, but they were like two different. It was like, you know how like remember baseball, they do the split squad.
They have two different crews.
Yeah, they had two different crews. Yeah. So basically, he might have been wrestling with those squads and everything, but then he got called up to do, you know, the Raw. He got to Brock to do commentary. Then it was just like he wanted to go back to NXT. So, hello, Brock. Insert Brock Lesnar taking him out.
Well, I mean, that gave us the goodness that is Samoa Joe on commentary. So it was a positive return of investment.
It was cool. He was definitely missed this week on commentary. I hope everything is all right.
Yeah, he might have just been getting I hope Vince isn't getting disenchanted with the Raw commentary team, because it's 2 weeks in a row. It's no Tom Phillips. This week is no Samoa Joe. But Byron Saxton was still there.
Right.
So I hope they're just giving those guys some time away from the bubble and some, you know, vacation time.
I hope that's what it is, too, because I would hate for them to remove Samoa Joe for commentary. And, you know, it's like, this is the commentary that we enjoy on Monday nights.
We go backstage to Sarah, who welcomes Mickey James. Mickey James says she loves this business. She's given every ounce of her soul to this business. It drives her to be the best. She also likes the high stakes competition a champ like Asuka brings out of her. What drives her? She could have had different answers through various stages of her career. Now she has clarity, and it's clear now that she has always had what it takes to be the champion. But what fuels her tonight is knowing that tonight could be her last chance to ever win the Raw Women's title.
Yeah. Oh, goodness grief.
That was a good promo.
It was. And she really, I don't know, it was her and Asuka had a good match at, was it Payback?
No, it was NXT.
Oh, okay. They did have a match at NXT. Okay, that's what it was, NXT.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because that's where she came back. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's where she came back. They had a great match. And it's like, Mickey James has been around, is another veteran of the trade, and she's been, you know, really doing it real big. And it's just like, she had a good match. It was like, she didn't put on a good match, you know. So, we talk about that one a little bit later. What was next match?
Before we get there, Adam Pearce is upset that his security team cannot do their job. He's yelling at them all, and in comes MVP, saying that he understands that being a high-level WWE official comes with a lot of pressure. He says there will be added pressure if he doesn't fix this retribution problem. Lashley says this is his concern. It's time to upgrade security from boys to men, MVP says. Retribution's got the whole locker room scared. He says that he's not scared, and he's got his boys with him. Let them help, Adam Pearce, he asks. Pearce says they're right, and says thanks for volunteering. MVP says they don't do charity work. He'll be sending a bill.
So once we get to the end, I have a question for you that we probably to see if we can figure some things out. We're going to wait to the end.
Okay.
Until we get to the end to ask the question.
Okay. Mickey James versus Asuka, Raw Women's Title match. Asuka locks on an armbar. Mickey stacks Asuka up. Asuka kicks Mickey off. We get a kick to Asuka. Mickey grabs a headlock. Asuka reverses and sends Mickey down hard and grabs a chicken wing. Mickey drops down for a cover of her own for a two count. Asuka transitions into the Asuka lock. Mickey turns into the hole, and it looks like she's going for like that kind of float over pin that we've seen, you know, Shayna Baszler lose to a couple of times. But in the middle of this, Mickey turning into the hole, the ref calls for the bell. He says that Mickey tapped out, and Mickey's looking around like, what happened? But apparently, from what we're hearing or what they're telling the internets, is that Mickey James got hurt somewhere in between that chicken wing and the Asuka lock. She hurt her shoulder.
And then to follow up on that, our good ref blew the spot.
Oh, word.
Yeah, he thought that she was hurt, and so he called for the bell, but she was fine. Oh. So basically, it was just the ref botched the finish.
Oh, man. No wonder she looked so confused.
And it was like they was in the picture of her. It was the picture of her. The look she had on her face when she was going to get rolled over, that started to get memed out. So if you see some memes of Mickey James with a surprised look on her face about to get pinned,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so that's what happened. He botched the finish. So
come on, Teddy Long Jr., you can't be doing that.
Yeah, so.
Aja Wilson gonna be taking his spot in the big match as he keep that up.
Listen, she already had a spot in the good match tonight. That night.
Dang. Anyway, after the match, Zelina Vega comes out. She walks straight down the ramp. She grabs a mic and stares Asuka down. Zelina says she's been thinking about the future, about her future. And it dawned on her that she's wasted some of her best years managing those two selfish dudes. She says Asuka was handed the title, and she's been nothing but reckless with it, defending it against everyone. She says the Empress of Tomorrow is so focused on the superstars of yesterday that she forgot about one of the best in the business today. Don't bother asking if she's ready for Asuka, because she is ready for the title. Asuka grabs the mic from Zelina and goes in, and then Zelina, not wanting to hear it, slapped Asuka in the face. And then when she realized what a mistake that was, she rolled herself out of the ring and back up the ramp very quickly.
Asuka was ready to kill her.
But, okay, Zelina, I see you.
A lot of people were saying she signed a death wish with that one. But that was funny. I said, oh, she came out there. I said, she won the title. Okay. And we'll see where it's going, but it's kind of now we have to wait and see what's going to be the ruling on what happened with the Mickie James situation, because Mickie James had posted not like this on Instagram. So we'll have to see what's going to happen with that.
Oh, yeah, because that definitely could warrant a rematch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially since old buddy done messed up everything.
Yeah, man.
At least last week when we got the weird finish, somebody was actually hurt. So it made sense. This week is just like, oh, she won't even hurt. And then y'all tried to throw out a little bogus story too on top of it. Dang, that's messed up. Charlie, backstage with Keith Lee. Keith says that he and Drew have known each other for a long time. They have been aware that they'd have to fight eventually. The goal is the title, and that drives all of them. He knows Drew will do whatever it takes to stay champion, and he will do whatever it takes to become champion. Charlie asks if he will take advantage of Drew's injury. Lee says he will do what he must.
I know it was a part during this door here when he said, I think Keith Lee said he made a mention about Drew not interfering in his matches and everything. Oh, so kind of, you know, Drew, I was like, yeah, he kind of was not too happy. I said, yeah, he's like, that's kind of like, you can plug it in as well too. You know, why, you know, as the, as part of why they having this match and everything. So, this is an interesting turn of events about what's going to happen, with this title shot and Clash of Champions.
Eric of the Viking Raiders versus the United States champion, Bobby Lashley.
Here's Lashley, the United States champion, going after Eric in this matchup. Earlier on tonight, these two brawl back to the locker room area. MVP, what is it about Lashley? What have you done to make him this mean United States champion?
I just reminded him of what he's capable of. Ooh. He forgot.
And he's been very impressive.
Money.
That's it. See, you know, look, this is a business, and people tend to forget the importance of the business.
MVP, speaking of business, we saw the Hurt Business kind of offer up your services to defend off Retribution. Any update on that?
I'm sorry, Michael. Did somebody say something?
Well, I think he was asking you about the fact that Mr. Pierce believed you were volunteering to help take out Retribution. However, you informed him that it's not charity. Oh! And look at Eric with the double knees knocking down Lashley.
I give the man respect. Eric's knees are vicious. I've been on the receiving end. He's a dangerous man.
Oh! Oh, Lashley might be done. Cover now.
Are you crazy?
Bobby Lashley now. The gut wrench, the power to Eric by Bobby Lashley. Bang! Face first.
Just incredible power.
Cover by Lashley. And Lashley and a kick out by Eric. You've got to be impressed.
I am. But I respect the man, though. I respect Eric. Eric and I are two extremely tough competitors. However, they are not on the level of the...
Well, I'm sure if Eric can knock off Lashley tonight, you'll be running him down to try to join the group.
But what I am impressed with Bobby Lashley. That's what you need to be impressed with right there.
Well, I'm impressed with this full Nelson by Bobby Lashley. Powerful.
And he's got the hooks in.
Eric down to the mat.
Lashley calls this the Hurt Lock, and it is in deep.
And Eric has to tap out. Lashley victorious here tonight.
Of course he tapped out. Of course.
Here is your winner, the United States champion, Bobby Lashley.
What a night for the Hurt Business. First Alexander, now Bobby Lashley.
All right, so Ivar, I'm having surgery today.
On his neck?
I want to say his neck or shoulder, one of the, it's like in that upper area right there.
All right, the cervical region.
Yeah, it's expected he'll be out for a year.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you just had a stinger.
Nope.
Dang.
Nope. When I was just looking up to see any updates and everything. And he said that this kind of surgery definitely keeps you out for a year. So, yeah, it's neck surgery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm. And he said that kind of injury keeps you out for a year. So,
Well, good luck to Ivar and his recovery. I know that makes Vince very sad because he was enjoying Ivar and the young blonde that Angel Garza was hanging up around. But because Ivar's hurt now, notice that she wasn't the blonde that he was talking to this week. It was Lana.
Nope. He was getting flirty with Lana. Yeah. Vince showing his petty side.
So it all makes sense with that. Backstage, Sarah runs up on Kevin Owens and asks him why Aleister Black has a personal vendetta against him. Owens says maybe he said something that set him off. Or maybe Hot Topic wouldn't honor his 40% off coupon for that shirt of that band that he likes. Maybe it was the frustration of sitting in the dark begging for a fight and no one cared. Owens wants to know how he will inflict enough pain on Black to feel like they are even. He wants the beating tonight to remind him every day of what happens when you pick a fight with Kevin Owens. He's really not worried about how he would do this because he's Kevin Owens. And then that's when we see Aleister Black walking into the frame after Kevin Owens walks off. Kevin Owens has been giving some really good promos.
He has been.
Lately.
Kevin Owens has been good for a good promo.
Yeah, it's just that now he's just not in that main event focus. He's kind of in that strong in the mid card now.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, he's kind of holding that part of the show down, though.
I mean, yeah, he's somebody strong to hold that part of the show down. So, you know.
Shane is talking with his security guard, a.k.a. tall Bruce Leroy. In comes Braun Strowman, telling them to get out of his way. He's pissed and wants some action. He threatens Shane, then tells him to give Braun his best fighter. The monster is here. Now, was it me, or can you tell they'd be doing camera tricks with Braun Strowman? Because he looked like the same height as Shane McMahon.
Right. I saw that, too.
I was like, usually he looks huge, like he towers over everybody. But I guess when there's a guy that's also like 7'9" in the frame, everybody looks smaller.
He definitely was about to step up to Braun, and Braun was not flinching at all.
Yeah, so Braun Strowman is headed into Raw Underground. Seth Rollins is in the locker room. He invites Murphy in. Murphy says he's been waiting all night. Murphy tries to bring up last week, but Seth says he understands. They ganged up on him and beat him senseless. Atonement, forgiveness, it's all a part of the process. It's in the past, and they have to look to the future, and tonight is an opportunity because Seth is going to be locked in that steel cage with Dominic Guerrero. He says no one's going to be coming in or out. This is the perfect opportunity to teach him a lesson. He must ask Murphy, is he prepared for his role tonight? Something very important. He says Murphy needs to be ready. Murphy says he's ready. That's when Seth slaps the dog out of Murphy, then grabs his chin and tells Seth that his role tonight is to stay back here so that Seth doesn't have to deal with his stupid mistakes again. He slaps Murphy again after asking Murphy if he understands. Seth is an abuser. Can't be treating the members of your congregation like that.
He laying hands on them for real.
We come back from the break. Michael Cole brings up that there's been a trade that Monday Night Raw has acquired. Mandy Rose. So we get a little vignette package of Mandy Rose coming over to Monday Night Raw. How do you feel, Mandy, what she's going to add to Monday Night Raw's roster?
Oh, please. We got too many blondes as it is.
Now, how would you feel if the first program for Bianca was Mandy Rose?
Well, I know a couple of people in our hashtag would be who they'd be pushing for. And if Mandy wants to get wins over her, they'd be calling out racism. So it would probably be a good look for her because, you know, Mandy has shown improvement in the ring and everything, but Bianca is still that girl though. So I still would want to see Bianca just lay the beat down on her. And you know, and we all know about Mandy and black women, because when she was flirting with Naomi's husband on SmackDown, that led to some beatdown. So, and you know, Binky don't play when it comes to Montez Ford. So she's trying to flirt with him. RIP to her.
Charlie is backstage with Dominic and his family. Dom says if he wants to follow his dreams and in his dad's footsteps, he can't back down, even if it means stepping into a steel cage. Ray says that he and his wife are worried more than Dominic is. They'll be out there to support him. Once the door shuts, he's all on his own, but so will Seth. He says Ray wonders if Seth should be concerned about Dominic. So Dominic Guerrero versus Seth Rollins, steel cage match. The cage door is open. Dom gets to the door. Ray is there to grab his hand. That's when Murphy comes by and tosses Ray into the barricade. Murphy turns around and slams the door of the cage right into the face of Seth Rollins. Dom gets to the cage. He starts to climb. He's to the top. Rollins gets up there and he gives Dominic a superplex back into the ring. He follows that up with a Falcon Arrow for a two count. Seth looks at Ray. He laughs at him. He claps a bit for Ray, mockingly, of course. Then Seth gets rolled up from behind by Dominic for two. But when Seth pops up, we get a stomp to Dominic, followed by another stomp. And Seth covers Dominic Guerrero and gets the pin. 1, 2, 3. Do you think that it was better than Rhea Ripley versus Mercedes Martinez?
That's unfair.
How was it unfair? It was a cage match.
Unfair comparison.
In the same week.
It's an unfair comparison. That's wrong. I like this match because.
So that would be a no.
No.
That's fine.
I enjoyed this match though. I enjoyed the everything that, you know, the story that built up in it. Thing about Dominic, I know right now he's doing the whole Ray's son, but I need him to develop a character quite quicker than what they're doing for Keith Lee. We need to develop a character for him if he's going to be on the roster. And also, Vince is high on him. So this is why we're seeing him in this role, in this spot and everything.
Well, I mean, what would be the evolution you like to see from his character? Like, what would you like to come out of this? Like, where would you like to see him go?
I mean, he don't have to be. He obviously is not going to be Ray because, you know, Ray was just Ray, and through his career. But I just need him to develop his own, you know, step out his father's shadow. I mean, he's always going to be looking at his as Ray Mysterio's son, but he needs to develop his own identity.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Seth leaves the ring with the kendo stick. He goes to Murphy, points at him, laps it off, and he drops a stick, and then he kisses Murphy on the forehead. He then sends Murphy into the barricade, then into the cage. He says, when is he going to learn? Seth grabs the door and swings it into the face of Buddy Murphy. How does it feel? Asks Seth. He walks over to Ray's wife while Ray is in the cage checking on Dominic. Seth tells Angie, hell of a job you did. I hope she turns out better, as he points to Ray's daughter. Ray's daughter goes to check on Murphy a little bit before entering the ring to check on her brother. Ray calls for the medics to come check out Dominic.
Now, here's another item for our listeners. It could be possible that they could be leading up to something with Aaliyah and Murphy.
Like, together? Like, she becomes his manager or something?
I don't know, something like she aligns with him. From what I was reading, it was kind of like a Romeo and Juliet situation.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, she's 19, he's in his 30s. No. But I kind of see where they're going with that. And then they say it could be, with her, with Aaliyah siding with, eventually siding with Seth, you know, as like the end goal, so to speak. So I was like, I said, once we start seeing the family on TV, I said, I knew something was going to be in the mix for his daughter.
I thought maybe she was going to start wrestling.
I thought so too, but mm-mm.
She's going to be a main character in a storyline. Okay.
That's what they're looking at. So when we start, if we start seeing, you know, them kind of like, you know, just start seeing them more together and, you know, things like that. You heard it here first.
Raw Underground, Dolph Ziggler is jobbing as jobbers do. Riddick Moss wants some of Dolph Ziggler. They go back and forth, but in comes Braun. He trucks Dolph Ziggler. Moss tries to fight him, but Braun shoves him and then hits a modified chokeslam. Ziggler comes back in, Braun lifts him up and then turns him over and slams him down onto the mat. So we leave Raw Underground and Drew has some words with Charlie until Keith Lee comes in and asks her to leave politely. She tells Drew it would be helpful not to drag his reputation through the mud. They're supposed to be friends. But Drew says he's not new, so don't spin Drew's words. Keith Lee says it sounds like Drew believes Orton would have beaten me, but the fact remains that the only match that Drew did not interfere is in the match where he beat Randy Orton. Furthermore, Drew may be concerned that Keith Lee is going to beat him tonight and then beat him again at Clash of Champions. Drew reintroduces himself to Keith Lee. He says he is not concerned or afraid. Lee says that he should be very afraid. As a person that knows Drew well, he also is aware that Drew has a larger than normal target on his back. So Keith Lee tries to like pat him on the back. Drew shoves his hand. Keith Lee tries to do it again. Drew shoves his hand. Keith Lee teases one more time. Drew's like, come on, man, I told you not to do it. And then he hit him with a short hook to the jaw. And then all of a sudden, we start a big brawl. Drew tries to whip Keith Lee into that little ring that they have out there. But Keith Lee reverses it and sends him into a bunch of boxes. He starts kind of pounding on Drew. That Drew gets up. He kicks Keith Lee as a bunch of refs come out to stop him. Did you like my Keith Lee promo impersonation?
Yeah, I heard you. I was digging it.
It's like he talks in a manner that does not induce wrestling promo to me. He doesn't, you know, he everything is always on like 4 volume. It's never on like 7 or 8.
Right.
Which is, you know, even the coolest of cool guys in wrestling, at least every once in a while, gives you like a 7 or 8 promo.
No, he gonna give you that. He gonna at you the max.
Yeah, super chill promo. Titus, he tries to get into Raw Underground. Braun Strowman is still murdering folks. When Riddick Moss tries to redeem himself, but Braun kicks him back out of the ring. In comes Titus. He tries to shoot the legs of Braun. He mounts Braun with some punches, but Braun is able to stand up, and then he chokeslams he chokes Titus out in like 5 seconds. I mean, was it last week or 2 weeks ago he got put to sleep by Riddick Moss?
Yes.
Down this week he got put to sleep by Braun Strowman. Totally different means, though.
Mm-hmm.
Shane tries to stop Braun, but Braun stands up, offering more pain to anyone else who wants to challenge him. Basically, that was like the wrestling definition of one nigga in the parking lot bucking with his shirt off, asking who else want to fuck with Hollywood Court.
I love that. I love that song by Outkast.
Kevin Owens versus Aleister Black. Aleister Black grabs an ankle lock. Owens reaches the ropes. Aleister Black holds on to the submission until the 4 count. The ref backs Aleister Black up. That allows Kevin Owens to hit a super kick to Aleister Black. And that's when the lights flicker. Aleister Black kind of is distracted for a second, and that allows Kevin Owens to hit a stunner and get the win over Aleister Black.
Distraction finish.
This could have, like, a year ago, year and a half ago, this would have been, like, top-notch program when Aleister Black was still fresh. But they wore that freshness off of him real fast.
That's what happens when you're part of Heyman's SmackDown catering crew.
Oh, man.
That's the name they gave him. Andrade, Umberto, there's a couple of us I was reading, you know, and then hence when Heyman got the Raw, he brought them along to give them push, to give them that push and everything. And then now they just, you don't see half, like, you don't see Umberto no more. Andrade's getting, about to break up with Angel Garza. You know, Zelina, she about to go run off with Asuka. Murphy's about to have his issues with Seth and Rey. It's just a lot, you know. People have that push, and then the person that champions for you get let go off that position, and then it's just not.
Yeah, it's not ideal right now for a lot of the people that Paul Heyman had kind of earmarked. The only people who still getting some run that he definitely had a big eye on is trying to, you know, build up into bigger stars are the Street Profits. Everybody else has been cut off at the knees. Power Montez Ford.
Right.
Backstage, Keith Lee attacks Drew again. Adam Pearce runs in to stop them both, saying he'll cancel the match right now if they don't knock it off.
Yo, this is hilarious how that whole thing. He came up and said, "We not finished," or something like that. "We not finished," or something like that. And they just started fighting again. And Pierce came out there as the authority figure. "I will cancel this match." And I was like, "Oh, wow." And they stopped.
The team, formerly but still known as the Riot Squad, versus Lana and Natalya. Lana goes for an X Factor, but Liv escapes. We get a tag to Ruby. Ruby grabs Lana, and the Riot Squad double teams her with Coat Breaker, Riot Kick combo that gets the win. 1, 2, 3.
Who got pinned?
Lana.
Okay. All right. That's the full. So part one was Angel flirting with Lana. This is part two. Let's continue.
Nia and Shayna were doing commentary for the whole minute and 25 seconds as this match was going. They enter the ring. Shayna sends Natty to the outside. Then Shayna grabs Lana as Nia removes the TVs from the announce table. Shayna sends Lana to the outside. Nia grabs Lana and grabs her on her shoulders. And we get a Samoan drop to Lana through the table.
And that's three. Now, Vince Petty is...
Are you saying that she's getting punished for somebody showing up on a different channel?
I mean...
Or is she getting punished for the TikTok, "I want to make my own money outside the company"?
Oh, no. I think, well, it could be a combination of that, but I think the main thing is because, you know, a certain spouse said, told Vince what he could do with the brass ring. And, yeah. He's like, oh. And he and Miro even thought that, he said she might get heat. She might have heat behind that, but he hopes that professionalism will take its course. I'm like, yeah, okay, you just not know who Vince McMahon is. And she ate that Samoan drop through the table. I was like, God damn. I said, Lana, I said, we know why it happened. I said, we know why that happened to you.
Come back to Raw Underground. Braun is still eating people for dinner. Moss comes back for a third time to fight Braun. Braun punches him one time in the gut. Dolph tries to attack him and get a 2-on-1. Braun is taken down to a knee as Ziggler tries for the sleeper hold. Braun tosses him over his head. Then he hits Moss with a hard right hand. And then they get a power slam to Dolph Ziggler. Finally, Dabba Kato, right? That's his name?
Yes.
Dabakato hops up. But Shane says, wait. This is for next week. If Braun wants to come back, then he can fight Dabakato, but it's got to be next week. And we're out of time, folks. So long.
Oh, as soon as Shane hopped up, I said, yeah, we not. I was like, yo, Dabo, is he going to jump up? And as soon as he jumped up, Shane said, I said, I knew Shane was going to pull that. You got to come back next week. We ain't going to give you, this week. You got to come back.
Appointment television, man.
Hey, man, Monday Night Football is back, so.
Yeah, it was kind of rough this week. They had the doubleheader, and
they had the Steelers. And the Broncos and Titans. So that was pretty much.
Yeah, they had the Steelers and the Giants. So there was a whole bunch of the country watching that game.
That's your New York market right there. Your New York and your Pennsylvania market.
What was I gonna say? Something about Monday Night Football. I'll have to come back to it. Drew McIntyre versus Keith Lee for the right. If Keith Lee wins, he gets to replace Randy Orton. Keith Lee hits a super kick and he pins Drew for a two count. Drew calls for the Claymore. It gets reversed. Keith Lee wants the spirit bomb, but Drew escapes. Drew hits the ropes and we get the double crossbody in the middle of the ring. That's when Retribution comes out and they circle the ring and they attack. Half of them beat down Keith Lee. The other half are beating down Drew McIntyre. Retribution continues the onslaught, beating down Drew and Keith Lee. And that's when the Hurt Business comes out. Retribution calls for the fight. They clash at the bottom of the ramp. And we've got ourselves a brawl. Shout out to Miss Simi. That's when Keith Lee and Drew get back to their feet. They hit the ropes. And then they do double dives over the top rope onto Retribution and the Hurt Business, and that is the end to this week's Monday Night Raw.
So first, you know, that's crazy. You have a whole locker room, and you got the Raw Underground, and you only got the Hurt Business coming out there to handle business against Retribution, and then everybody gets wiped out when Keith Lee and Drew McIntyre do the suicide dives over the top rope. But this is what I wanted to ask you.
Yes, sir.
So MVP said he's sending a bill for their services.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much would you think they would be billing the WWE for the services of them protecting Raw?
Is this an hourly rate or is this just a lump sum?
That's a good question. Well, this happened at the end, so I would probably say we could say lump sum.
The lump sum. It's four members.
And you got to factor in they all came out looking fresh in their suits, especially Sam had the suit on too. Mm-hmm. So they came out there with their suits on. You got the jewelry, you got dry cleaning, things like that.
Easily 100K. So that way everybody can get 25K a piece. That's how this works.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I was like, how much would they with that bill when they get that invoice? That invoice coming in the mail saying this is how much total amount due.
I know what I was gonna say. Sunday, they better be glad they didn't have a pay per view. Because they had 500,000 people watching the Auntie Versus with Gladys Knight and Patti LaBelle. Plus the Cowboys was playing. So they definitely would have been on a no ratings night that night.
Or Cowboys, and they was in the LA, and then LA, and they was in Los Angeles. So that's the LA market too.
Yeah, so it's going to be rough out here for WWE, man, this next like 4 months. Because now the real sports, football is back. It's on Monday nights. They're going to be hurting for these ratings. Just when Raw was starting to turn around a little bit, too.
That's what happened. It was like, I was reading, it was like, Raw returns to normal with Monday Night Football. I was like, yep. I say, yep, that's how it's going to be.
Well, let's get
to week three, you got... You got Kansas City and Baltimore.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Nobody. Only we might not even be really rewatching Raw that night. Kind of.
I would be like, I'm like, hey, let me put you in the DVR.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's definitely going to be must-see TV.
Definitely. I said, oh, Lamar and Mahomes. Yeah. I said, that's my thing. I said, Monday night. I said, Ravens got Monday night game. Oh, yeah. Raw gets DVR'd.
Let's talk about some must-see TV that occurred last week. As we have a new NXT champion, Mr. Finn Balor, the Prince, defeated Adam Cole, baby, in the sudden death winner take all for the NXT title. Your thoughts, Mr. Mo to the underscore.
I enjoyed that. We were recording, so I was watching the match. So I was trying to contain my excitement. Were we recording? That was Tuesday.
Yeah, it was last Tuesday.
No, okay, yeah.
No, that was the night we had the technical difficulties and we had to push it back one
night. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's right. Because I was like, yeah, because you wanted to watch that match. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I enjoyed the match. Like you said, they just definitely turned it into a Mat Classic, and that's what it is. But I'm just kind of wondering, what's this going to mean for Adam Cole? Because we got the draft coming up. So will he be going to the main roster? And will he be coming to my main roster? We come to Raw, SmackDown. It was a great match. And Finn winning the title, I'm hoping he can this next reign is pretty much a solid one for him as well too. It's just just unfortunate that Karrion Kross got injured. Because we definitely would have tried to see where that would have been going with that.
I'm disappointed because that means no Scarlett on my TV. Totally different reasons why I'm disappointed that Karrion Kross got injured.
Yeah.
Let's also give some props to the women who main evented NXT last week, Rhea Ripley and Mercedes Martinez in a steel cage match. Definitely the best steel cage match WWE put on this week. Those women, they turned it out. That was a great showcase for them. Glad they got that main event spot.
But see, the thing is, I'm trying to figure out why they put her with Retribution.
She's such a veteran. It's kind of like,
okay,
she's too seasoned to be in NXT,
Okay, all right, okay, I got you with that. Cause I was just wondering, I was like, why would they put her? And then now it makes sense when you think about it. But yeah, that was a good, really good match. Then Robert Stone, she have a serve with restraining order, and she just ripped it up. I was like, get it out of my face.
I couldn't find. That was my parting promo. Where's Robert Stone coming to grips with having to get rid of Mercedes Martinez? He was like, I hate to lose her. She was such a role model for Aaliyah, and she was like, she barely even talked to me. Let's also talk about something that I didn't know I needed until I saw it actually happen. Speaking of Aaliyah, she had a little run-in with Shotzi Blackheart because Robert Stone was trying to do bad things to the Tank. And right. In the midst of her running away from Shotzi Blackheart, she accidentally ran through Io Shirai's photo shoot. So they both chased her down and beat Shotzi Blackheart and Robert Stone down. And then afterwards, Shotzi picks up the NXT title, women's title, and goes to hand it to Io and kind of does the psych and like pulls it back and holds it up in her face. And Io grabs that title at her hand and looks at her and goes, "Don't make me hurt you." It's like, what? And so this week on NXT, it's Io Shirai versus Shotzi Blackheart. Oh, yes, I am Big E GIF with the popcorn for this one this week.
Yeah, and it's his thing. Everything is back on his regular schedule. So either we're going to record one or DVR the other. I mean, watch the other one live or whatever. So, speaking of that, USA is in WWE's ear saying, hey.
Go to Tuesday?
Yep.
I knew it because the ratings were phenomenal 2 weeks back to back.
Yep. So they say, hey, we might want to move NXT to Tuesday. You know, forget this rating war. Forget whatever's going on. Let's get this.
But for years, dude, there's never, ever been anything on Tuesday night. For as long as I can ever remember growing up as a kid or whatever. If it wasn't sports, there's nothing good on Tuesday night.
You talking about wrestling-wise?
No, I'm talking about just in general on TV.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, Tuesday has been like a quiet spot.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I knew after the first week when they got that huge, huge number and there was like, oh, we may be on to something. And then they followed it up last week with a very similar number. They didn't have too much fall off. I was like, oh, yeah. They're going to be packing that joint up and talking about moving to Tuesday.
They went, hey, man, let's think about this.
It would make it a lot easier for me. I'd love to watch NXT on Tuesday, watch AEW on Wednesday, and then talk about them both on Thursday. That would be great.
Oh, okay.
Instead of having to pack both of them in on Wednesday and do like double work, taking the notes and all that stuff for it.
Yeah. Another thing, Sasha Banks is going to be on The Mandalorian this season 2.
Oh, yeah. You see the picture?
Yeah, I saw the picture. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to be right there watching.
Mm-hmm. She had the Kermit the Frog little hoodie thing on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she's going to be back on SmackDown this week. Hopefully, she's not like in the arena. Hopefully, she's like at home. Still recovering, because it would diminish the effect of the brutalness of the beatdown if she was just in the middle of the ring standing up cutting a promo next week.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely do not have her in the building. Just have her do like a remote interview,
right?
And she kind of promo that way.
Yeah. I would much rather see that, but this is WWE. They don't be thinking like that, so she'll probably be right there in the middle of the ring, like nothing happened.
Definitely. Now, which show do you think has the better storylines going right now with everything we were seeing?
Because they got two. They got the Roman storyline and they got the Sasha Bailey storyline.
Oh, okay.
And really three, if you add in this Alexa Bliss, Braun, Bray Wyatt thing too. Oh, two and a half.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Roman turning heel and aligning himself with Heyman, and then they're getting Jey Uso in the mix. And this is the match that I did not know I wanted to see. And that's what we're going to get, hopefully, at Clash of Champions.
Yeah, they've been doing a good job of kind of building Jey Uso up the past 2 weeks or so to make this more compelling.
And that's what you can, and here's the thing, that's what they can do. You can build a story like that, and it's like, what is it that y'all don't get? You see what you're doing, and it's like, and you got people talking about, like, I want to see this match now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember before it was like, nah, man, I don't want to see the cousins fight, but the way that Roman's been carrying it, it's like.
Roman's like, he said, I'm going to beat that ass, like I used to do back in the day, and it's going to be all love afterwards. Now, when he told him, don't look at this title, look at me, I was like, okay. We got something going on here.
Yeah, but man.
Definitely. It's going to be, this is one, like I said, one of the storylines I'm definitely paying attention to, because it's like he came out there, he did what he had to do, he got the blind tag, Spear got the win. I say he's definitely living up to what he's doing to show up and win.
Oh, definitely. One last note, the G1, it starts this weekend on Saturday, So all my New Japan pro wrestling folks, everybody out there who really likes New Japan, or if you want to check it out for the very first time, the G1 is the best month this year of wrestling you can find anywhere. So it's going to start on Saturday the 18th. It's also going to continue on Sunday the 19th. The first two rounds, the A block and B block. So please check out New Japan Pro Wrestling's G1 Climax starting on Saturday. All right, G1 thoughts, sir?
I heard the card run down, and I'm going to try to sit in the lawn so I can watch these matches.
No, you don't need to watch them live. You need to do what I do, especially if it's going to be on Saturday. Man, you better just watch that job at 9 in the morning when you wake up. Don't be making those special alarms for no 4 in the morning, man. Your joint is on demand.
I forgot. You do have it on demand joint. You be like, okay, watch this one.
Yeah, you better just pull up that New Japan World when you know, at like 8, that like 9:30, once you get ready to have some breakfast or something. Watch those 2.5. By the time you get ready to drink a beer at noon, it'll be over. I hope they're sticking to the like 2.5 hour type of shows they've been doing here since the pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but it looks like it's gonna be rowdy, rowdy, and bowdy, bowdy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh yeah, man. All right, man. So I'm gonna turn it over to you for your shout outs and thank yous for this week's Rawcast.
All right, Don, another good episode. Thanks again. So we got shout out to all our peoples in the chats, Classic, Greg, Sam, Mel, because you always get shout outs, Jay to the Max, Simi, my boy Word Exclaim. There's a whole bunch of us that be up in there. Sean and Dwayne over at the Push. We watched the first Clash tomorrow, doing a live watch with that.
The one where Lex Luger and Barry Windham win the titles?
I think that's the one. I think it's the first one with Flair and Sting.
Yeah, man. That's a good show right there, buddy. Yeah. Just pay attention to that crowd. Now, that is a wrestling crowd. That happened in the Greensboro Coliseum.
Yeah.
That's happened on the same day as WrestleMania. I want to say WrestleMania 6 or 7.
Oh, they definitely wasn't playing with that one.
Yeah. But watch that tag team match. Just watch that crowd.
Oh, okay. Got you. Keep my eye on it. Shout out to everybody else who will be in the live tweets with us, showing out with us, coming through every week. Like I said, new faces I see popping up in there, the past couple of weeks. Thanks for rocking out with us. Me and Don do this every week. And we just talking wrestling and giving out commentary with color, as the tagline says.
What day are y'all watching that?
Tomorrow.
Do you have a time?
I think it's 3:00 PM.
Oh, shoot. I'll be at work. I was like, dang, you should get a live tweet going for that. People have never seen it before.
Are we going? That's going to be like the episode, I believe. So that's week. But yes, we might just put it out there. If they want to watch, like, live tweet, we can do that. I probably will live tweet it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just use, like, Retro Cast of Champions or something as a hashtag.
Okay, I'll do that.
There you go.
But shout out to everybody who'll be there with us,
Big shout out to Mo to the _ Reese for joining me once again on the Rawcast. Shout out to Miss Simi. Shout out to Jay to the Max for helping me record SmackDown Matters, and also Miss Simi for helping me record the NXT cast and the Dark Match over on the Patreon page. patreon.com/CSPN Media. Go subscribe to the Dark Match, where you can hear our AEW thoughts and reviews, also candid conversations about other things that go on inside professional wrestling and sometimes not. Shout out to Miss Didi, we miss you. Shout out to Greg. Shout out to Sam. Shout out to the guys over at the Push. Shout out to Sean for trying to make people care about Charlotte Flair, but it's just not happening, bro. You just on that island by yourself. But hey, man, live your best life. Shout out to Mr. Anwar Starwin. Can't wait to talk to him about the G1 coming up soon. Terry's boy as well, Madame Lizette, all the ladies from the Forever Young cast, What Sleep Doe, Miss Jupiter Julep, all of the members of the GLOW, all the Wrestle Bays as well. Continue to use the hashtags and support us. On Monday nights, it's Rawcast. On Wednesday nights, it's the NXT cast and Dynamite cast. And on Fridays, it's SmackDown Matters. So please use those hashtags and share your commentary with color. Also, support the podcast. Do some shopping with our sponsors. Go over to cspn.us. Click on the tab that says keep our podcast free. Do some shopping. The holidays are rapidly approaching. So wear that Amazon link out through the cspn.us. Do all your holiday shopping with Amazon, and you'll help keep your favorite podcast free each and every week. So for Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been The Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
You know what I've been thinking? Thinking about the future. No, you know what? Thinking about my future. Because today it dawned on me that I have wasted some of the best years of my career managing those two selfish little ingrates just like you. Yeah, you. You are an ingrate. I mean, you were handed that Raw Women's Championship by one of the greatest in the world. And you've been nothing but reckless with it. Defending it against everybody and their mother. The Empress of Tomorrow is so focused on the superstars of yesterday that you've forgotten about one of the best in the business today. Me. Bother asking if I'm ready for Asuka, because I'm here to tell you that I'm ready for that.
Oh!